not be participating either, and Justice Stefan will not be participating on that case. At that point in time, Chief Judge Moore of the Court of Appeals and Judge Inbody of the Court of Appeals will join the court. So give me a moment to exit.
This case is State versus Wang, and as noted, the Chief Justice is recused. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Mark Rappel, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Jin Wang. The issue before the Court is whether or not a defendant or an appellant is statutorily entitled to be advised of his right to seek an independent blood draw or independent chemical analysis, this physician's advisement, if you will, or whether or not he's entitled constitutionally to said advisement. Now, the facts in this case are relatively simple. On February 11, 2013, Mr. Wang was pulled over and ultimately arrested for the offense of DWI. Officer Wilhelm of the Lincoln Police Department clearly had some difficulty in communicating with Mr. Wang at the scene of this incident, as evidenced by the video and audio recordings of this particular case. Mr. Wang did advise the arresting officer that he did not speak, understand, or know the English language very well. I think that bears itself out in the court's factual findings that there was a clear language barrier here. In fact, their record suggests that Mr. Wang was actually taking pictures of various documents at the detox center so he could go and hopefully comprehend them at a later time. And also, the officer did read verbatim the physician's advisement statute, section 60-6,199, off of a form that was hanging in the detox center word for word as the statute would allow. Now, importantly, the district court did make some factual findings that do help Mr. Wang's position that he didn't understand what was going on. First off, the lower court did find that the Lincoln Police Department's policy on advising motorists of their prerogatives to secure independent samples, they read it, but they do so in a way that motorists who don't understand English can't comprehend what they're being asked or what their rights are in that regard. And importantly, the court made a factual finding that despite Officer Wilhelm's testimony to the contrary, the lower court found it, quote, highly doubtful, end quote, that Mr. Wang understood what officer was telling him in regards to
your argument presupposes that this right has to be written or stated or given to the defendant involved in a DUI. It wouldn't make any difference then whether it was English or Chinese. If the right doesn't have to be given, then would you concede your client doesn't have any right to have this information read to him in Chinese or whatever?
Yes, Your Honor. I would concede that obviously if there's no right that anybody be read this form, whether statutorily or constitutionally, then Mr. Wang's appeal would likely have no merit. However, it's our position that's the issue on this appeal is whether or not someone does have a statutory or constitutional right to such an advisement. And I'd ask the court, and as I did in my brief, obviously there's a difference between a duty to advise someone of the right and the duty to assist somebody after they've been advised of that right. And most of the cases in this state have dealt with the duty to assist somebody who's already been made aware of the fact that they have a right to an independent sample. We need to distinguish between those cases, duty to advise and duty to assist. This is a duty to advise case.
Your argument at its heart is a due process argument which rests on constitutional grounds, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Actually, it's two arguments. In passing, I did make an argument that the court revisit the precedent of this court regarding whether or not statutorily it's required, and then also alternatively, my more important argument would be constitutionally whether or not it's required, because this court, to my knowledge, has never addressed that particular issue, whether or not a constitutional right exists under the Due Process Clause to advise somebody that right. Now, in Klingelhofer and the progeny of Klingelhofer, I would note that those cases are a little distinguishable from this case because this was a breath test case. If you look at Klingelhofer, that was a refusal case, and in the context of a refusal case, the Supreme Court, in a split opinion, 4-3, found that there's no statutory requirement that somebody be advised the right. But if you look at all the cases that have held that previously, they've all been refusal cases or blood or urine cases, cases where a defendant has a right to have that sample independently tested. When a breath test case, the defendant doesn't get that right because the sample is purged and lost, and under State versus Vernon, there's no duty to preserve the sample. So in a breath test context, it's never been addressed whether statutorily someone's entitled to be advised that. But to your question, Your Honor, obviously my main argument pertains to due process. What, you know, due process does recognize a right of a defendant to a reasonable opportunity to collect exculpatory evidence in their favor. And in State versus Dake, the court said, again, that was more of a duty to assist than a duty to advise.
How would you do that in this case with, when you're dealing with a chemical breath test? How could you, how could you, even if you advised him, what would be the reaction? How would he get his own test or expert?
Well, I think what he'd be entitled to is perhaps go get an independent blood draw, an independent chemical analysis. The statute invites him to get a physician or whoever of his choosing to do so. And I understand that may be a question. Maybe a motorist won't be able to do that, but that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not they should be told, and if they have the resources and ability to do it, that's where I think the due process clause comes in, at least tell them.
You argue that once they're told, then they have to be assisted in finding something.
No, Your Honor, I'm not asking the court to change its precedent regarding the officer's ability to assist. The law simply requires that the officer not hamper one's ability to get the test. We're not asking the officer to drive him there or get an officer there. To me, per se, if you don't know about the right, that is per se hampering one's ability to get an independent sample if you don't tell him about it. And I think if you look at most of the cases, and I cite some of my brief, you know, most of those cases involve situations where the person either was told of their rights or in a constitutional context, or they asked themselves about their right to an independent sample. Cases where they were never told are pretty rare. And there's one case I'd cite the court to that, unfortunately, I didn't put in the brief, State versus Meekhoff. I came across this in preparation for the arguments today. It's 42 Pacific 3rd, 223. It's a 2001 case. I believe it's out of Georgia, where, again, this is one of those rare cases where the person wasn't advised at all, that wasn't told, nor did he bring up the fact that he wanted an independent sample. And that court did find that accused must be informed of their right to independent testing. Failure to do so is a due process violation. And I would argue that would apply here. Now, in this particular case,
the statute doesn't require that he be advised, does it?
Judge, statutorily it says the person shall have the right to, doesn't specifically say they shall be advised. But again, we're talking about statutorily and constitutionally. Now, just because statutorily doesn't advise it, require it, doesn't mean that constitutionally he's not entitled to it.
So you're saying that, in essence, your argument is that due process under our Constitution, in this instance, requires something above and beyond what the language of the statute itself provides.
Yes, Your Honor.
In other words, even though the statute doesn't require an advisement, somehow due process does. And I'm having trouble, I confess, with that argument.
Well, Your Honor, yes, I think the cases I cite in my brief along those lines do say that that's obviously the job of the courts is to decide. Legislatures pass laws, courts get to decide whether or not certain due process rights are violated given a certain set of facts. In this particular case, I believe it's reasonable to argue that he has a due process right to collect evidence that might be to his favor, particularly for this case, which he was never advised of such right. And interestingly enough, in State versus Klingelhoff, with its project, as I cite, Justice Provocia, who was right with the dissenting opinion, along with two other judges, were trying to interpret legislative intent to inquire, despite the fact that they didn't put in the statute that the officer has to advise. The three justices dissented and argued that perhaps it should. When you get to the legislative intent, what's the purpose of somebody having a right to an independent sample if you don't tell them about that right, or they don't have to be known about that right?
Let me back up a little bit on your citation to, is it called State versus Meekhoff?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't have all the facts at my disposal, but again, it was a case where the accused, as I understand the facts, the record was blank on whether or not he was ever advised or ever brought up himself the right of an independent sample. And I believe this case said, actually it's a Montana Supreme Court case, I believe, accused must be informed of his right to an independent sample. Failure to do so is a violation of the Due Process Clause of the Constitution, despite the fact that Montana has an implied consent law and some laws pertain to that as well. And so I see I have some time left.
Was that an interpretation under the Montana Constitution?
Yes, it was under the Montana Constitution, yes.
As opposed to federal constitution.
As I recall, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May I reserve time for rebuttal? Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning again.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Nathan Bliss, appearing on behalf of the athlete, State of Nebraska. State's position in this case, as set forth in our brief, is that there is no statutory or constitutional right to be advised in any language regarding a person's right to pursue independent chemical testing after a DUI arrest. As far as our statute on independent testing, both this Court and the Court of Appeals have repeatedly explained, their statute does not require an officer to advise a defendant of the right to pursue independent chemical testing, and even if a defendant requests independent chemical testing, an officer has no duty to assist them in doing so. These decisions have been on the books for over 40 years. Based on my research, the legislature has obviously acquiesced in those decisions, given that it has not touched the statute since 1993. So there clearly is no statutory right to this advisement in English or any other language, and we would note that there's been no challenge in this case to the validity or the constitutionality of Section 60-6, 199. The only challenge or the only issue is whether there is an overriding constitutional requirement to provide this particular advisement as a matter of either due process or protection. We maintain that the answer is no. We submit that the advisement is not required as a matter of due process because, as both the U.S. Supreme Court and this Court have explained, the state's not required to preserve an original chemical test result, despite the fact that they have the ability to do so.
When a person obtains a driver's license, they agree to abide by the law and the rules of the road. We don't have to post speeding signs in different languages, do we?
No.
We don't have to do anything.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Once you drive, you're subject to the law.
That's correct. And this would go well above something such as speed limits. But as far as the fact that the state's not required to preserve the original chemical test, we would submit, if that's the case, then there's certainly no basis to conclude that the state must then go on and advise and facilitate an additional separate independent test. As far as the appellant's assertion that this advisement should be required as a matter of due process because the due process clause affords defendant an opportunity to present a complete defense. According to the defendant, the state is hindering or hampering defendants from doing this by not providing this advisement. This is simply not the case. The fact that an officer doesn't advise a defendant about their right to pursue an independent chemical test does not mean that they're hindering the defendant from doing so. And in this case in particular, as the record reflects, Mr. Wang was released from custody as soon as he was done with his chemical test. He was free to do whatever he wanted at that point. The state did not hinder him from doing anything. So we would submit that there was no due process violation here. We also maintain that there is no equal protection violation here. According to my research, as set forth in the brief, there are four components to a valid equal protection claim. The first component is that there must be state action. The second component...
Well, if we were reading that particular advisory to everyone, then you might have a due process claim if you didn't read it to them in the language you understood. But equal protection is not, we're not protecting anybody any differently. We don't read the right to have an independent chemical test. That's not advised to anyone, is it?
The right to obtain the independent chemical test, well, I mean, this officer in this case testifies that he does it in English every time to everyone. So.
But he does give the advisement.
He does, yes. And it's posted above the chemical testing machine. So. My understanding, and I think we have findings of fact to that effect, is that at least with this officer and LPD, it is done every time in English. But we would submit that this doesn't amount
to... Why do they do that if they don't think it's an important element of the DUI program?
I don't think we have an explanation. Is that it could just be out of an abundance of caution. They figure since we have a statute on the books that talks about this, they just have the advisement posted and they just read it and just... to be careful. I'm not sure, Your Honor.
Are you aware of any cases in which it's been held that due process does require the reading of this advisement?
No, I'm not, Your Honor. The case that Mr. Raffel cited is the first one I've heard of that I'm aware of, and I've not read that case. As far as the equal protection claim, the other three components are the third and fourth component, which I think are critical here. The third component, that the state action must fail to pass the applicable level of judicial scrutiny. And the fourth component is that the state action must involve some discriminatory intent or purpose. We would submit that Mr. Wang is not satisfied either of those components. As far as the third component, the applicable level of judicial scrutiny, the state submits that the level of scrutiny that applies here is rational basis because dissimilar treatment based on language alone does not implicate suspect class or fundamental right. This does appear to be an issue of first impression in Nebraska, based on my research. But we've cited a number of cases in our brief which have held that dissimilar treatment based on language alone does not implicate fundamental right or suspect class and requires only a rational basis review. The case most on point is the Rodriguez case from Georgia Supreme Court, addressed this exact issue. We agree with that decision.
What would you be your position with regard to Miranda warnings?
Miranda is, I think it's a bit different for a couple of reasons. First reason being that when Miranda comes into play and the duty to advise of Miranda, I mean, you have an investigation that is...
Well, aren't you saying you have a duty to advise here because you do it every time? Isn't that part of your program?
No. The fact that they do it doesn't mean they have a duty.
Okay. Is Miranda a constitutional right?
It is. Well, this is grounded in constitutional rights.
And is this advisement a matter of legislative grace?
Without this legislation, I don't even think we'd be having any discussion here. There's certainly no constitutional right. There's nothing in the language of the Constitution that requires an advisement about independent chemical testing.
And that's your distinguishing point between this and Miranda.
Exactly. Miranda is based on the Fifth and Sixth Amendments. I mean, a person clearly has a right against discrimination and a right to counsel. That's what Miranda is based on. So I think it's clearly distinguishable. And there are plenty
Why
of
Why do you think in Rodriguez in Georgia the court did take up the equal protection argument?
I'm sorry.
In Rodriguez, the Georgia case that you referred us to?
Yeah.
Why do you think the court examined the issue under equal protection claim?
I guess I'm not sure if I missed something in the opinion that maybe you picked up on. I assumed that it was challenged, that it was raised on appeal, and they were just responding to the claim because the defendant had raised it.
If the Georgia Supreme Court had previously held that the Georgia statute required the advisement, then it would make sense to go on to the equal protection claim.
Well, yeah, that would make sense because, I mean, if you have a requirement that it be
given. Because now you've got a requirement, now you have to see if people are similarly situated and so forth.
Sure. I think that would make more sense. As far as the fourth and final component of an equal protection claim, just note as far as discriminatory purpose or intent, Mr. Wang has not established this component. Either the arresting officer in this case testified that the reason they read these advisements only in English, and the reason that he did so in this case and didn't request an interpreter was that, in his opinion, Mr. Wang understood what was going on throughout the traffic stop and the subsequent arrest. An interpreter was not necessary. And as that officer explained, LPD is budget aware, so they don't request interpreters or don't solicit interpreters unless it's absolutely necessary. We would submit that this is a legitimate, non-discriminatory purpose for reading these advisements only in English, especially in light of the time and expense in obtaining interpreters, as well as the sheer number of languages that an officer might encounter in the field. And I would note that according to the Chief Justice's most recent State of the Judiciary address, last year in Nebraska alone, there were 46 languages for which an interpreter was requested and over 24,000 appointments. We would submit it's simply not feasible or practical to accommodate these demands outside the courtroom setting in routine traffic stops and DUI cases. And there's no requirement to do so as a matter of due process, equal protection, or otherwise.
So the right given is that you have the right to have independent testing, but the right does not include the right that you have to be told that you have the right to have independent testing.
Precisely. There are no further questions. We would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time is left for rebuttal?
We have a minute or 11 seconds.
Your Honor, there seems to be some concern about, since the statute doesn't specifically specify that you have to tell them that you cannot, as the court, appellate court, cannot engage in a constitutional analysis, and that would seem to fly directly in contradiction to State versus Dake, which is 247 Nebraska 579, where they interpreted the duty to the physician's advisement, again, under a duty to assist, not a duty to advise. But in that case, this court specifically engaged in or recognized a constitutional due process right. I'm reading from the opinion. This is generally true in constitutional due process cases where a right to a reasonable opportunity to collect exculpatory evidence of sobriety has been recognized. And in that case, they cite four or five cases from other states that have recognized, despite a statutory, despite language of the statute, this court can do a constitutional analysis. And I think if you do that in this case, you'd find that there is a due process, right?
What's the cite?
Your Honor, State v. Dick, 247, Nebraska, 579. Now, again, they were interpreting the constitutional element in the context of a duty to assist, but not under the context of a duty to advise, but they did recognize a constitutional right there. And then regarding language barriers, obviously there's always concern when somebody doesn't understand English. I know your justice was concerned about, you know, implied consent laws and whether or not motorists have to understand that. And I would cite the court to Martinez versus Peterson, where basically the defendant, if I could finish, was not read the implied consent form in English or in his native language, and the court found that that could not be a refusal because safeguards needed to be placed to make sure he understood what he's being asked to do. So although someone may sign an implied consent form when they get their license, the law still has put some burden on people to make sure that they understand what they're being asked to do. I would submit it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Next case is State versus